right. Good morning, everybody. We're going to continue our building below the baseline, building that foundation. Go ahead and turn into 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Last week we talked about spiritual, being filled with the Spirit, and today we're going to be talking about spiritual discipline. It kind of goes hand in hand with being filled with the Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, as the Word of God says, that you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And that's dealing with discipline. You're there, we'll start in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run a race, in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. It may seem counterintuitive to say this, but spiritual discipline, the point of it is not to make us more spiritual. It's not, nor is it a means of heavy rules and regulations that we put on our life. It's not for traditions. It's not for any of that. Think of the world today. It used to be that our world, saved or unsaved, had morals. They wanted organization. They had boundaries for things that were, like I said, morally right. Today, we just see chaos and rebellion in everything, not just towards the church or in the church, but just in the world in general. And that's why spiritual discipline is so important for Christians. Back in 2014, a construction crew prepared a church building in Berkeley, California, for demolition. As they were demoing this, they found a time capsule from 1948 hidden in the wall behind the church cornerstone. Inside the sealed metal box was carefully wrapped a Bible, a newspaper article about the church's groundbreaking in 1948, and several pro-temperance or anti-liquor flyers written by the pastor. The sad thing is, remember, this was being destroyed. It wasn't that they found it because, oh, hey, it's time, we should take that out and see what this church stood for. It's that the church was disbanded. They'd faltered. They'd fallen. And the sad thing is that all around America, those churches is exactly what that is happening to. They were founded on something solid. They had something. They stood for something. But along the way, they started giving up. That discipline was too much for them. You work out, you're an athlete. The Bible talks specifically here about being an athlete. An athlete in the Olympics trains for many years and specifically changes their diet, their habits of life, and everything. If they were a week before the Olympic, their whatever swimming or event, decided, you know what, I'm done with this. That chocolate cake just looks really good. I haven't had it for years and years and years, but man, I just want that piece of chocolate cake. No, because then what was the point of the whole years of training and everything and giving all that up? That's how God shows us what spiritual discipline is. And Paul specifically speaks to Corinth, a very carnal area. If you were here when Brother Brian did his series on Corinthians, it's a very carnal area, and it's a carnal church, and Paul writes it in a way that they would understand, to be dealing with the Olympics. At that point in time, were being held, the Greek Olympics were being held there in Corinth, and Paul specifically shows them all these games that you are all familiar with, and know everything about, and some have participated in, and you love watching it, and so you're ingrained, you know about the Olympics. Let me show you what spiritual discipline is like. Because just like it's important for those athletes, it's important for us Christians to be disciplined. Let's pray and we'll get into this lesson. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for giving us a nice, beautiful day to be here in your house. I do pray that you be with the lessons that are taught this morning from your word. I pray that we learn and apply them to our lives. And that's the whole point of Sunday school, is to learn and to not just hear and not do anything about it, but to change our lives based off of your word of God. I pray that you help me give them exactly what you've given me this week. And I pray that everything be glorifying to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Every Christian runs in a race. When you're saved, you are entered into the Christian race. I am not a racer. Pastor always talks about all these marathons that he did. To me, running was a punishment. In football and soccer and all the other sports I played, running was a punishment. It was never a, hey, you know what I enjoy doing? Let's go run. That was never something that I enjoyed doing. It was a means to an end. Soccer, it was to get the ball into the goal. It was to tackle. It was a means. It was never the enjoyment part of the sport. But Paul specifically makes this out to be a race. The Christian is in a race. It's not a, you've heard it many times, it's not a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's something that we have to keep working on. And here in our text here in 1 Corinthians, we see three important things, truths regarding discipline that we need to have in our Christian lives. And the first part we see is the purpose of that discipline. In verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." There's a purpose. That's what I'm saying. When you look at soccer or football or baseball, there's a purpose why you're running. It's not just for the fun of it. I'm not just running because I enjoy running. I'm running to tackle somebody, to get the ball, to win the prize. And that's what Paul is talking about. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." So the purpose of spiritual discipline is to run a race. If we don't have discipline, if I get up without having trained at all and decided, like a lot of us that used to play sports, somebody comes up and says, "Hey, do you want to play a pick-me-up game?" "Yeah, I love playing soccer. Let's go play soccer." And about 2 minutes into the game, I'm going, "Why am I here? My body is not ready for this. My body is not used to doing all this." And you're okay, yeah, you go ahead. I'll do defense today. I'm going to stand by here and you come to me kind of thing. You're not ready for it. And that's what Paul's speaking about, is those that run in a race run all. That running all means they give everything. They nothing is out of the question of trying to run this race. If I've got to train longer, if I've got to give up certain foods, if I've got to sleep a certain amount of time, I'm going to give it all so I can run this race. We need disciplines in our lives because we're running this race. If we're just Christians by being saved and that's all we're going to ever do and we're not going to change the way we live, you're going to get worn out. You're going to get tired when those trials come and those problems and there starts to get a rough road in front of you. My father-in-law, he runs barefoot. I don't get it. Stones? It'll stop me right then and there if I step on a stone barefoot. But he runs barefoot. That is the idea, is when there's trials and issues or the road gets rough or there's gravel, God has made a way that you can be prepared for it all, that you can continue to run. Pastor Pirate made a Mount Zion Marathon. And in it, Christian is running this race, and he has a lot of troubles that come on. He has the lion, the devil, trying to pull him away from this race. And if he's not specifically having a purpose, that goal, just like the in the Pilgrim's Progress, He has a goal: get to the celestial city. With that goal in mind, I'm going to endure whatever it takes, because I'm going to finish. I need to get there. That's why the Bible talks about Jesus as a arrow pointed towards the cross, as a set his face as a flint towards the cross. That was the goal. All this other stuff that's going to happen is not going to change the fact that I'm getting to that goal. And we have to have that purpose in our life. Hebrews 12, 1, Paul talks about, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Paul understood that he was in a race. Philippians 3, 7 and 8 says, "But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ Jesus in my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Why? That I may win Christ." That's our goal. When you're running a race, your goal is to get that medal. That's why I don't run marathons. That's why I don't run. I know I'm not going to win. A pastor likes trying to beat his time. That's not enough for me. If I'm not going to be first place, I don't really want to play, kind of thing. That to me, and that's what Paul's trying to get at. He says there in verse 24, "So run that ye may obtain." He's not telling you to run because you're trying to beat your best time. He's telling you to run so you win. And the Bible has set up, God has set up exactly how to win. How we can live our life to win, not to beat my time from last time. Man, it was 4 weeks last time that I didn't sin, I fall to that sin. Now I'm 8 weeks before I fall to that sin. That's not the point of the Word of God. The Word of God is to be able to go, I can continue on and not have to worry about falling to this sin because of this. Because I've put disciplines in my life and set boundaries and stuff in my life to stop me from getting to fail and fail. And we're all humans. We use that as an excuse, but if we desire to remain in the race, we have to put disciplines in place. We have to have ourselves, as the Bible says, I control my body. We need to be willing to lay aside those weights that easily beset us. When Olympic runners train months and years for their event, whether it's the 50-yard dash, the marathons, they lay every weight aside. They don't worry about work. They don't worry about what diet. They don't worry about how much it's going to cost for a coach to teach them and to get in their face and scream and yell at them, because they have a goal and purpose. They want to get to the Olympics and win that gold medal. Spiritual discipline isn't in itself the end of all. Regular Bible reading, a prayer closet, coming to church, giving the gospel. Those disciplines are included in that spiritual discipline, but it's not the end that we focus everything on. Our goal is to win Christ, to be more like Christ. And these are attributes of having discipline. We need to obtain that goal. Philippians, you're there. You're not too far. Turn to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, starting verse 8. The Apostle Paul's testimony had a goal for his race. Verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I also suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him." We see he wants to win Christ, he wants to be found in Christ, and he wants to know Christ. Those are his goals. Those are the prizes. That's why Paul fought, as he says, I fought a good fight, I have finished my course. How about you? How about me? Do we have a purpose for why we're running this Christian race? Because if we don't, a lot of times you'll do what some of us do after we go play basketball or something after many years is, I'm good, I'm going to sit this one out. I need a break. I don't have the endurance to keep up with it. It's an attitude. It's a decision that we have to make as a Christian that goal is the most important thing. If it's not, then we're going to sit down in this race. We're going to become spectators instead of participators in this race of a Christian life. But we need to remember the purpose of that goal is to win the race. And it will help you get a proper perspective of why you're doing it. The practice of discipline, look back in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The phrase there, striving for the mastery, means to enter a contest, to contend with an adversary. Paul's saying, you're going to fight. This isn't a race that you just walk. This is a race that's going to fight. You're going to have to fight your own body to get to that finish line. You're going to have to put things in place, disciplines, against your own flesh, because that's who we fight against. When we get saved, this flesh doesn't go away. It's still there. That old nature is still fighting us every single day and wanting us to veer off and sit. Because I can tell you, when it comes to a marathon, I'll be at the finish line watching when Pastor runs by. That's a whole lot easier than being at the starting line and starting to run with everybody. Because of that discipline of the body. And Paul specifically wants us to make sure we understand that this isn't just a walk in the park. You know, they have the Richmond Marathon, and you have the first wave that runs, and those are the first wave that runs. And then later on, as they put different heats or time groups, the last group is those that are going to walk the whole thing. That's not what the Christian race is about. Christian race is not to walk it. It's to run it. Those that walk it aren't looking to see, man, am I going to get first place today? No. They're not worried about getting first place. They just want to finish. They just want to say, I've done it. Well, when you're saved, you're sealed, you're going to heaven, you're going to finish. The point is not, am I going to finish? That's the Holy Spirit's job. He's sealed us to the day of resurrection. That's done. The finish already is going to happen. You will make it to death's door. Promise you. We'll all die. But the point is, are we going to walk the race or are we going to run the race? Are we going to win prizes to get to the end? But look there, verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Temperate. It's being self-controlled. There's many a times, I have ran a couple races, and one of them was when we were up in Minnesota, and we ran the firecracker race. It's a 5K. Not a runner, again. Not trained as a runner at all, just trained to run to something and do something with that. Everybody, all the rest of the family, it was a family reunion, and everybody does it. Even Grandma Carson does it. 90-some years old, and she still runs the race. She always wins in her category. But I was like, all right, well, everybody else is doing it. I'm not in any way shaped to do it, but we'll roll. The round of shape can roll through something, so I'll get through it. And there's a wall that you hit while you're running. First 2 miles, you're like, oh, this ain't too bad. And you got everybody else around you, and you just keep going and stuff. And then it hits you, and you're like, your legs are done. Your lungs are saying, we're done. The body is saying, I am done. Thanks for trying. Veer off here and take a rest. Maybe in a couple minutes, get back in and start running a little bit. But our body says that we need to rest. We're not temperate in all things. And that's what Paul's trying to say is, you've got to put your body in control. A runner, every runner, it doesn't matter if you're the best world-class marathon runner or just starting out, they all hit walls. The difference is who will push through that wall. And that's what self-control is about. Bible says we're all going to run into temptations. We are all going to have temptations in our life. In this race, we will see and suffer tribulations. But it's that wall. Are you going to walk through and run through that tribulation? Or are you going to stumble and stay down? Even if you stumble and fall to the temptation, are you just going to sit there? Or are you going to get back up and run? That's self-discipline. That's being temperate in all things. We see the purpose in all things. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. So I always, when I read that, I always picture a goofy person running. Like, just doesn't know how to run. They're just running. Paul says, I'm not just flailing around. You know, somebody tells you how to run when you're a kid. And if you watch my kids, they all run differently. Some of them run goofy. Some of them mostly are on the floor when they're running. But there's a way to run. And Paul's saying, I'm not just out here making the motions, beating the air with my arms. I'm running not uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's not uncertain in his purpose. He's not just going through the motions. Verse 22 of a little bit back in chapter 9, verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. And here's the key phrase, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. There's a purpose. I want to win that goal, and I want to run this race correctly to win that goal, but Paul also says it's also because I might win others into this race. When you, I don't know, and maybe it's just as I got older and watched the Olympics, all of a sudden I started realizing these are kids. Like they're 14, 15, 17-year-old kids doing these amazing races and stuff, and I'm going, wow, man. I really feel very horrible about my ability not being able to do something like that. And it sometimes will make you go, you know what, if that kid can do that, I'm going to make myself do that. That's what Paul's talking about there. I run this race to hopefully be able to win others to see what I'm doing to follow me, to not just get into the race, get people saved, but also to show other Christians this is how you run the race. Paul wanted to live his life in such a way that anybody that would watch his race would want to become in and a part of that race. That's why he says, follow me as I follow Christ. It doesn't work if you're not following Christ. The guy that's running back in the back end of the race, that's not the guy you want to follow. Unless you're really out of shape. And then it feels okay because you're like, well, I'm better than him. At least I'm 2 steps ahead. But that's not the point that Paul's trying to say. Run so others may want to run with you. Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means When I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. It's a tragedy when you see spiritual leaders fall to temptation. Yes, it does damage to them themselves, but it does more than that. If there's somebody that you grew up listening to, or a pastor or a preacher that you liked, and then all of a sudden you find out they were into a lot of other things, and now not only is his image fallen, but it's bringing shame to Christ. And how many Christians fall out of the race because they have somebody that they've been following fall? And then they trip up themselves. Or they get to the point they're like, well, look at what he did. He was the spiritual giant, and he fell. What am I going to do? I might as well just sit down. I ain't going to do any better than he is. And that's what Paul was trying to say, is I have spiritual disciplines in my life so others can follow me, and I have to make sure I keep those disciplines in check. I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. If I get up here and preach and teach about certain things, and then on Monday you see me doing the exact opposite, what am I doing? That's why it's so important, because we're all preachers. You're either parents that are preaching to your kids by your life. You have unsaved people that you work with, that you're around, that you're preaching your life to. And they're watching you. We like to say that, and a lot of times we kind of go, are they really watching me? Make a mistake, they'll point it out, because they're watching. And that's why Paul said, I have to keep this body into subjection, because I need to make sure, not for me, not to say, look at me, I've finished my course and I've kept the faith and look at me. It's because I want to be able to be an example to others. And the only way to do that is to not be a castaway, as he says. The last thing that we see in this lesson here is the prize of discipline. Every time I read discipline, I think disciple. I don't know why. It's spelled almost the same. But the prize is not heaven. Like I said before, when you get saved, heaven's already your home. The Bible says you're already seated there. Heaven is not the prize that we gain by having spiritual discipline. Whether you're disciplined or you're not, if you're saved, you're going to make it to heaven. The Bible talks about that at the judgment seat, some will make it as so by fire. Basically, by the skin of your teeth, you're going to make it in because you're saved. Your life didn't show it. You didn't win any prizes, but you got to heaven. You're saved. So what's the prize of discipline? Why do it then? We don't do it for salvation. We don't do it for heaven. Turn to Romans 14:10. We do it because there's going to be a judgment day. We do it because there's going to be a day where everything comes out, and we're rewarded for what we have done with Christ. Romans 14:10 at the end of that verse. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself. There's a destination. That's one prize. That's one reason of why we need spiritual discipline, because we're going to stand before Christ and give an account. We're going to stand at that bema seat and see what crowns we will win. Our works here on earth have a bearing in what will happen in heaven. It's not if you'll get to heaven. It's what you'll have in heaven. For a Christian who's implemented those disciplines in their lives for their race, it has an anticipation. It brings excitement. Paul talks about, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Therefore is laid up for me. He was looking forward to his prizes. But as a person that's further back in the line, when I see the finish line, the only thing I'm looking forward to is just done. I know I ain't going to win the medal. I know everybody else is already has finished, but I'm just going to say I'm done. My body can finally say, just stop and fall down. But Paul said, I don't look at that judgment seat worried. I don't look at that time where I'm going to stand before God and say, oh, am I going to get anything? I don't know what. At least I'm here. Paul said, I didn't run this race just so I can say I made it. I ran this race and I made sure my body was in subject to me and make sure that I have spiritual discipline in my life so that I can win crowns for Christ, that I may know him. To hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Esther Kerr penned the words to a hymn that we know, When We See Christ. It's a song that reminds us that this life is just temporary. The trials that we're going to face, the problems that we're going to deal with, is just temporary. And Paul was trying to get through to these Corinthians that that's the problems that we're going to have here on earth, don't worry about them. They're going to come. You can't stop them. Being saved or unsaved, you will have trials. But how we're going to run our race is important, and how we're going to finish and have prizes at the end and crowns is important. The chorus of that song is, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. How about you? Can you say that? You know, we always say, and you hear the most time when the most people are sinning and not is when they sing hymns. Can you say everything that I'm doing, all the sacrifices I've given, the making sure I read my Bible every day, whether I'm up till 4 in the morning and I got to get up early to get my Bible reading in, or I'm giving up Saturday morning so I could go knock on doors. Man, I could go do this and I could go do that. No, this is what's important. I'm going to go knock on doors and give the gospel. Is all of that worth it to you? Because just like the old phrase, show me your wallet and I'll show what's important to you, or your bank account and I'll show what's important to you. Same thing is with the Christian life. Show me the time that you give Christ, and I'll show you what's important. Are you here at church each time? Are you here for activities? Are you spreading the gospel? Are you telling those that you know? Because if not, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. That might be your phrase when you get to heaven, but here on earth, you don't really care. You're walking this race. I'm going to finish, and I'll get to heaven. Maybe when I get to heaven, I'll be ashamed at that point because of all the things that I wasn't able to do, or I don't have crowns to give to Christ and lay at his feet. But if we would purpose to run our race as a Christian and run it well and practice spiritual discipline in our lives, we can see the prize that we'll gain. And we will make it there, not just by the skin of our teeth, but we'll make it there with things that we can give Christ. The other song that I have to say is probably one of my favorite is, Must I Go in Empty-Handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go? When you run your race, when your race of your Christian life is done, will you have anything to give Christ? Or will you just be there? You're a participant in this Christian race, whether you like it or not, when you're saved. You're in the race. But are you going to have a prize to give him? Are you going to have crowns, souls that you can say, I did this for you because this is what was important. I made sure I kept my body into subjection. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. All for you. Not for me, but all for you. But so many Christians today, we don't care about this race. We're just happy we know what the end is, and that's enough. We're just going to go through day to day to day and live life like we normally would be, knowing that at the end I'm going to die and be in heaven. And that's enough. Paul said that's not enough. That's not what the Christian life is for. It's not just to make it to heaven. Because like Pastor says a lot of times, if it was just to make it to heaven, why are we still here? Run your race. Run it. Don't walk it. Run your race. And have disciplines in set in place that you can run it. You can make sure your body's able to run it and endure through those walls and get past those temptations and get up after you fall and keep running. Because we want to be able to give something to Christ. Let's pray and we'll get into the morning message. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much again for your word, Lord, for giving us exactly how to run this race and make you pleased with how we run this race. And I pray that that be an important thing for us, that we not just see the end and say that's enough, that I just make it to heaven. Lord, to fight and to run this race and to be able to have crowns to lay at your feet and see souls that we've been able to lead to you. Not so that we can say we did anything, but be able to lift your name up with the way we live our lives. I pray that you be with Pastor, fill him with your Holy Spirit, and I pray that you be glorified and honored through all that goes on today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.